You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Hope everybody had a great week. Man, mine was actually pretty chill. Didn't have to go into work on Monday. Actually was in Chicago this past weekend, visiting family and going to a football game, the Bears and the Packers, which I'm sad about my Bears, man. They severely disappointed me, but we're not even going to get into that, okay? We're not going to talk about that. But other than that, week has been pretty chill. My job, we actually have a huge conference that we do, our annual conference out in San Francisco. So office wasn't too crazy, pretty chill in there. No complaints here, but definitely going to hit the ground running next week, especially in the world of sales. It's never stopping. So, hey, looking forward to it. But I hope y'all's week was pretty chill as well. Definitely enjoying this weather, man. We're entering into that fall season. Excited about it. Hey, can't complain about anything, man. Just blessed, just happy to be here, happy to continue to improve and enjoy life, man. So I hope y'all are doing the same out there, man. Wanted to go ahead and kick into our topics for the day. Okay, so just want to give a quick recap of the current college football standings right now, since we've had some changes. And as you can imagine, if you all know by now who I'm a fan of, my NFL and my college team, my alma mater, I had a tough weekend, man. I had a really tough weekend. So we're going to talk about it. Maybe not that long because I don't want to reminisce about it, but we're going to talk about it just a little bit. again, just wanted to recap and give you guys the current rankings as they stand right now. So we're just going to go through a few of them. I won't go through all 25, but we'll go through a good bit of them. So we got Georgia at number one, Michigan at two, no changes there. Florida State jumped up to three. Texas moved up seven spots to four after they beat my Alabama Crimson Tide. If you hear that, I said it pretty low because I don't really want to yell that. So USC moved up a spot to five. Ohio State moved down a spot to number six. Penn State, seven. Washington, eight. No movement there. Notre Dame moved up a spot to number nine. And here are my Alabama Crimson Tide down seven spots to number 10. Right behind them, Tennessee moved down two spots to 11. Utah, 12. Oregon, 13. LSU, 14. And Kansas State, 15. So I gave you guys 15 out of the top 25. So, yeah, that's where they currently stand right now. Biggest, I don't think the last time we had an opportunity to talk about that, really wanted to touch on that real quick. The LSU and Florida State game was wild, man. That was insane. It was not, well, at least the first half. Wasn't expecting Florida State to actually come out and blow out LSU the way that they did, but I can't say that I'm complaining about it. LSU was in the SEC West, so hey, I was happy to see that they were able to, you know, do what they did against LSU. But again, hats off to, you know, Florida State in they have some receivers over there, y'all. They have some dogs. And Jordan Travis, man, he's only getting better and better. I can remember the showdown that they had last year with Jaden Daniels and Jordan Travis in New Orleans when they were going back and forth. That game was only decided by a point because LSU missed the field goal at the end. But this one is just pure domination by Florida State in the second half, which LSU came out swinging, but had like 10 plays in the red zone on that first drive and failed to get any points out of it. So that was a huge blow from the get-go. And from there, you know, first half was pretty back and forth, but Florida State really ran away with that. So that was my that wasn't my biggest. The other one was Colorado going on the road to knock off TCU. That was a huge one. Really, really impressed with what I saw from the Colorado Buffaloes, specifically, you know, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, man, what they were able to do. And, you know, I say this, man, we all were kind of in that, you know, that one point in time, looking at, you know, the recruits they lost. And I know Deion brought, you know, a lot of people in, which he called his Louie, you know, he brought his luggage in into Boulder. And, you know, you kind of question it. You're like, you know what? I know that these guys are going to have some fight in them, because that's what Deion, you know, he demands that. But you just didn't know how they would look. But they came out swinging, man, and just really, 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 really surprised at you know, what I saw. I was very impressed with what they put out on the field. And we're gonna go into that, you know, even a little more in depth. But I just wanted to kind of backtrack, because I didn't get an opportunity to talk about that in our first, well, it's been a little over a week so since we last been together, so wanted to quickly touch on that. But wanted to talk about last week, recap some of that. Biggest upset really last week, Texas upsetting my Alabama Crimson Tide 34-24. Texas, obviously, this was a game for them that they had circled on their calendar early in the season. We all know what happened the second game of the season last year, when Alabama went to Texas to play them in Austin. Their quarterback, Quinn Ewers, actually went out with an injury, and Alabama ended up squeezing out that win 20-19. This time, they came back with a vengeance, in which was expected. I mean, Steve Sarkisian is a mastermind on the offensive side of the football. You saw what he was able to do with Mac Jones in Alabama when Mac Jones hadn't started. he played a couple of games when Tua got hurt, but him in his first season starting as Alabama's quarterback, just putting up the numbers that he did, man, and the way that Sark was able to draw up those plays, and which led, you know, to that national championship team, that was huge, you know. So we all knew that Steve Sarkisian was gonna come out swinging. I mean, he had the plays set in stone, you know, for Alabama last year. When, I mean, same thing, you know. So wasn't really shocked at the fact that they came out and did what they did on the offensive side of the football. Quinn Ewers actually went 24-28, 349 yards and 3 touchdowns in that game. On the other side, Jalen Milroe, 14-27, 255 yards, 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. So he didn't really have that good of a game. Well, I mean, he had a decent game, but in regards to just the decision making, wasn't the best at all. But I'll get into that in just a second. But Texas had 454 yards of total offense. Their defense forced 2 turnovers, like I just said, 2 costly interceptions. And then they controlled the time of possession, 32 minutes to 27 minutes. So that was, you know, pretty significant in this one. Again, hats off to, you know, Texas and what they were able to do. You know, I think that, you know, people are looking at Alabama right now, and now with especially with Nick Saban making a change to Tyler Buchner to start against UCF, they're looking at this situation where they're thinking that Saban and Alabama is in panic mode, and I do not see it that way. You know, everybody out here is saying that Bama has a quarterback problem, and it's easy to blame the quarterback in a situation like this, but anybody that watched that game last Saturday could see that there were some holes on both sides of the football. It was not just the quarterback, but people only love to blame the quarterback. But we're not going to talk about the pre-snap penalties from the offensive line, the low snaps from the center where Milroe has to bend all the way over to pick the ball up. The fact that he had 2.5 to 3 seconds to throw the football back there running for his life, majority of the game. The fact that the defense gave up huge explosive plays and couldn't get off the field, it's not just the quarterback. So let's pump the great brakes and let's stop, you know, right there. Yes, could Milroe have played better? 100% could have played better. Did he make some costly mistakes? Yes, he did. Early interception that I don't know why he threw the ball. Second interception, he threw another costly interception. I don't know why he threw that ball there anyway. I mean, either. And I think that one, I want to say one out of those two interceptions that he threw led to a touchdown, which was costly. So, but despite his struggles in that game, he still was able to, you know, make some pretty explosive plays down the field. You know, hitting Tremaine Burton, hitting Knee Black in stride after a low snap, standing up and being able to, you know, keep his composure and poise in the pocket and be able to distribute the ball. I mean, he still showed some pretty good signs. It's just, you know, you could tell that he was uncomfortable and, you know, there's lack of experience there. And I'm not making excuses for him, but I'm just trying to get everybody to see that it's not all on Milroe. Okay. The whole team as a whole lost that game. It was not just the quarterback. Because last time I checked, Milroe doesn't play defense. He's not played defense. So everybody just pumped the brakes. But I do think that this is a wake-up call for Alabama. I think that is Alabama done? No, not by a long shot. The season's not over. Everybody is so quick to write Alabama off. The season's not over. Everybody calm down. Everybody relax. We've lost the game early in the season before. I think that this is going to fuel this team. I am interested to see, you know, what Tyler Buchner does and what adjustments are going to be made. People will question that decision as well, but I will have you remember that Tyler Buchner came over from Notre Dame, the same offense that was run by our offensive coordinator, Tommy Rees. So there's familiarity there. There's comfortability there. He understands the system. So, you know, let's see what he does. Let's see what he has. And don't be so quick to write Alabama off, because just when you think it's all over, Alabama will come storming back. So I'm not worried about that. And we lost to a really great team. I mean, you're talking about a team that could very well win the Big 12 and will be in the playoff. You know, I can see that. I don't see anybody in the Big 12 unless they just have a terrible game. I don't see anybody knocking them off in the Big 12. I mean, we know how these conference games work. You know, you got to be on your P's and Q's every game because you just never know. But I just don't see anybody that's just going to, you know, knock them off. You know, TCU, Baylor, I don't Oklahoma, I don't really see it. But, hey, you never know. But we very well, Alabama could have very well lost to the Big 12 champions. So that's not all bad in my book. So SEC is still wide open and in front of them. And still could win the West, still could win the SEC and get into the college football playoffs. So keep your eyes open for that. Definitely wanted to just recap a couple of the games real quick. Any of the other bigger games last week? I mean, nothing too crazy. I know, you know, Ole Miss knocked off Tulane 37-20. There weren't any other huge games from this past weekend that, you know, were worth really mentioning. So we'll just look ahead toward the next week. And then I'm going to give you guys my picks for our Saturday slate. So moving on real quick, wanted to touch base on, you know, what happened in the NFL on Monday night, man. Aaron Rodgers goes down for the season, man, after tearing his Achilles, after just playing four plays against the Buffalo Bills, man. Sad sight to see, especially with a guy who, you know, will be is a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, in pretty much a lot of people's books. It's tough to see like that. And I know Aaron Rodgers was a Green Bay Packer and, you know, he destroyed my Bears for so long, but you just, I never celebrate anybody's downfall. I never celebrate, you know, anybody getting injured. And I don't like to see that, especially because, you know, all the hype that they had surrounding them this year, they had Hard Knocks coming in. You were just excited to see how he was going to build that connection with a new offense with Garrett Wilson. And then you bring over Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard. You got Breece Hall. You got Carter back there. You got a young, solid defense that flies around. But the biggest question was that offensive line. That was the biggest thing, especially if you all actually paid attention and watched Hard Knocks throughout the time that it was, you know, out there. And I would encourage you to even go back and watch it. During practice, the offensive line was one of the biggest issues in practice. And even Aaron Rodgers was having, a hard time with that. He was frustrated with how they were, you know, protecting him, especially in the joint practices where he was uncomfortable. When they were, you know, they were having joint practices. So it's unfortunate because, a lot of and I'll say this too. A lot of people are coming out because they're upset about the turf and all of that. And they're saying, like, you know, turf and grass. But I don't care if it was grass or turf. The way that he fell, He would have tore his ACL Achilles on any surface the way that he fell. Like that, the way that he fell right there, you have somebody that's 200 plus on your back falling down and you're at an awkward angle like that. It wouldn't have mattered what surface he was on. But now, you know, his question, what's in question now is his future with the New York Jets, who now have to move on with Zach Wilson, throughout this year. And you never know what's going to happen with him. You know, that experiment didn't work out the first time around, but he has had a chance to sit behind Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see what that, you know, looks like. He did come in and they were able to get a tough win against the Bills team. But I think a lot of that was just due to Josh Allen's terrible, just poor decision making, man. I don't know what Josh Allen was doing, but, you know, he's good for an interception or two every game. Threw three interceptions to the same person, accounted for four turnovers overall. Just a terrible game from Josh Allen. And they went to overtime, but, you know, and that game, it finished in exciting fashion, man. That was an amazing way to end the game. So while, you know, I know it was a bittersweet, but it was a celebratory moment for the Jets, but it was also a sad moment as well, because just knowing that Aaron Rodgers was carted off and knowing that, you know, he won't be back this season is a tough blow. So how are they going to respond? Aaron Rodgers did have successful surgery, though, and he didn't rule out being able to come back in the playoffs. So we'll see. You know, they got to get there first, but, you know, we'll see what happens. But he's 39 years old, be 40 years old this year. Just, you know, interested to see, you know, what is he going to do? You know, do I think he's going to retire? I don't know. I don't think that he will. I think that he'll still want to give this a realistic shot. I think that he gave himself at least 2 years with the Jets to see what could happen. Unfortunately, he'll only have a year now, and maybe a small sample size in the playoffs if he's able to come back around that time, depending on how this rehab goes. But I do see him coming back next year and actually, you know, wanting to play the full season and seeing if he can actually get this team to a Super Bowl, because they have a roster that is built around him that they can make some noise, you know. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But I just wanted to say, and that's a tough blow, and it's huge, huge loss, man. I don't think a lot of people think he should consider retiring, but we know the athlete that he is. We know the competitor that he is. So I don't necessarily see that happening. Moving on, man, let's go back to college football real quick, man. Colorado State's head coach had a lot to, well, not a lot. He had some words for Coach Prime. And name is Jay Norville, Colorado State's head coach. Came out and made this comment, pretty much a sneak diss, on this show and said that when I talk to somebody and I speak with them, I take my shades off and I look them in the eye and I shake their hand or something along those lines. Or like, you know, that's how I was raised and how I was taught. Taking a shot clearly at Coach Prime, who wears the fly flashy shades, which that's Prime. That's what he does. He's always been that way. Never going to change. Deion responded to that by saying, you know, I'm a grown man. I'm not going to change who I am. And I don't know if you guys had an opportunity to see the clip of him talking to the team during practice. But that speech he gave and the fact that those players saw that, he said that, look, this team is on 10 now. And they said, look, you know what happened to the last security guards, right? I like the reference to Friday after next. Look, you know what happened to the last security guards. So I don't know, you know, Colorado State's head coach, when Colorado scores like their 50th point and the game is over, because I got Colorado by 50 after that. I'm going to just look, Colorado by 50. Forget it. I don't understand why these coaches do this. Just shut your mouth. Worry about your team. Worry about what it is that you do, and you go out there and execute. But what do they want to do? Look, they, of course, you know, it's an in-state rival. Why not get some animosity and some little, you know, cheapiness going? Let's go ahead and get it started earlier. Cool. All right, cool. But you asked for it. And I like, you know, going back to what I know Stephen A. Smith earlier this week said that, look, if I was him, after we whooped them, I would go in front, you know, walk up to him on the field, take my shades off, take my hat off, and shake his hand and tell him good game. That's how I would handle it. That's exactly how I would handle it. And I actually, you know, this actually made me think about, and I know this is a little bit, it's not necessarily like the same caliber, because it was more of a racial type of comment. But y'all remember the Titans, right? When they were getting ready to play, you know, Denzel's team, they were getting ready to, T.C. Williams, they were getting ready to play in this big game. And the head coach of the other team says, they asked him, look, are you going to shake his hand? You're going to shake Coach Boone's hands after the game or whatever, something along those lines. And he said, look, I'm not shaking hands with that monkey. And so he saw that on TV. And after they beat him, he walked to him in the middle of the field, shook his hand. And before he walked away, he turned around, threw him a banana. Like, that right there, that was huge. You know what I'm saying? So, I know that was a racial type of, you know, comment that he made. And I'm not saying that that's the same thing here. But, you know, I was just kind of just thinking about a time where a coach kind of tried to ruffle the feathers and then he handled it at the end of the game that way. So, you know, I just think that that was just a stupid thing to say. You know, it's just dumb. I just worry about you. You know what I'm saying? And your team. But I got, you know, I hope Colorado crushes them. But let's go ahead and pick some. My game picks for the week. I want to go ahead and do that, and then also give you my picks for the NFL as well. And we'll just run down that. I'll go through a few games, but and you know, the games for Saturday here, I am gonna take, you know, Alabama over South Florida. They're going on the road, 34-point favorite. I'm gonna take Alabama in that one to bounce back. I think Tyler Buckner has a good game. And I think that Alabama gets back on track on this road to just improving and stacking wins and getting better. I think that, you know, Saban will have them ready. They're focused. They have their wake-up call. So I think they'll be ready to go. Penn State going on a road to play Illinois. This one is an interesting matchup, but I think that Penn State, they have a pretty decent squad this year, so I'll take them on the road against Illinois. They're a 14-point favorite. Another game, you got LSU and Mississippi State. LSU's going on the road to play Mississippi State. They're only, they're a 10-point favorite in this matchup. I'm going to rock with LSU in this one. We'll see, but I'm not sold on Mississippi State at all. And I'm not sold on LSU, but I think that LSU can go into Starkville and get that win. Looking ahead, you got South Carolina and Georgia. So Georgia is actually a 27-point favorite in this game. But people, just pump the brakes. I don't think that y'all should overlook this game. I know that, you know, people are looking at South Carolina like, oh, there's nobody. But this is Georgia's first SEC, you know, game, first real opponent. They play UT Martin and Ball State, their first two games, and wasn't impressed with what they did on the offensive side of the football. Defensively, they, you know, showed some signs of, like, you know, them flying around with the speed and, you know, stuff like that, creating turnovers. But offensively, I've not been impressed with what Carson Beck has put on tape. And I've even talked to Georgia fans who are not impressed with it as well. So don't overlook this game. You got a team in South Carolina and Spencer Rattler. These guys are, you know, they play hard. This is a team that last year people thought that Tennessee was going to come in and just roll all over them. And they put up 63 points on them. And ruined their college football playoff hopes. So, and then turned around and they beat Clemson and they beat South Carolina. I mean, beat Tennessee back to back weeks. So do not overlook that South Carolina team. So I'm gonna roll with Georgia in this one, in a close one, but don't be surprised if South Carolina makes this a tight game. Moving on. Next up, we got Tennessee going on the road to play Florida. Have not really been impressed with Tennessee too much right now. Again, they haven't really had a test, but I've seen them struggle early on against Austin Peay. Joe Milton, accuracy, you know, a little shaky. So interested to see how they perform in a hostile environment. Am I sold on Florida? No, but Gainesville is a hostile environment to play in. So, you know, curious to see how they respond. I am going to go with Tennessee in this one, but they open up as a 5.5-point favorite. So this is going to be a close, tight game. This is a SEC East rivalry game. So look. Tempers will be flaring, emotion will be high. Really, really, really excited to see that game. So, and see what happens. So, I'm gonna go with Tennessee in that one. And last but not least, man, you got Colorado State against Colorado. I already told y'all, man, Colorado by 50. Nothing more that needs to be said. I mean, let's talk about, you know, the work that you know Colorado's been doing. They got two Heisman candidates right now, Shedeur Sanders, who's completed 78% of his passes, over 900 yards and 6 touchdowns. And he's also completed the most passes under pressure this year. So he has 24 completions and 4 passing touchdowns under pressure. That's the most in the country. So, you know, and then let's talk about Travis Hunter playing both sides of the ball, wide receiver, making plays all across the field on the defensive side of the ball. Just putting some amazing tape out there, man. Just really, really, really impressed with what I've seen from both of those guys. And, you know, just excited to see what happens along the way, man. So, again, I got Colorado by 50, in that one. But, you know, looking at the NFL matchups this week, got some pretty decent matchups. This is week 2. Just to recap, man, the Eagles were able to knock off the Vikings on Thursday night, 34-28. That one actually was a blowout at first, but it ended up being a pretty decent game toward the end as the Vikings were mounting a comeback. But the Eagles were able to get a late score and preserve that win. You got my Bears going on the road to play Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a 2.5-point favorite. I think that, you know, it can't get any worse than what I witnessed at that game on last Sunday. I was completely disappointed. But I'm going to take the Bears over Tampa Bay in this one. I think they'll get back on track. I think that Fields will complete more than two passes to DJ Moore, and they'll get this thing rolling and get a tough win in Tampa Bay. You got the Raiders and the Bills. I do think the Bills will bounce back, get a win against the Raiders. So, you know, as long as Josh Allen doesn't throw four picks to the same person. Ravens and Bengals, man, both of these teams, you know, it's been, you know, pretty shaky up and down. But I'm going to go with the Ravens in this one. I think that the Bengals right now, Joe Burrow, struggling in that first game against Cleveland, really up and down. So I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think that, you know, they'll have a pretty solid game and they'll get a tough win. Moving on, you got the Chiefs and the Jaguars. Travis Kelce is actually going to be playing in this game. He's expected to play coming back from that knee injury. I'm going to go with the Chiefs to bounce back. Well, actually, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs to bounce back and get a close win. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to blow, you know, the Jaguars out, because I do think the Jaguars they're going to be in striking distance to win this game. I definitely do. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think getting Travis Kelce back is going to be huge. And we'll see if those guys are going to catch the football, those receivers. But, you know, I don't know, man. I'm going to go with the Chiefs in this one solely because Travis Kelce will be back. And Chargers Titans, I'm going to go with the Chargers to get a win there. I'll quickly move through the rest of these. Packers Falcons, man, I'm going with the Falcons, man. I hate the Packers. Falcons, please do it for me, man. Make my day great on Sunday by knocking out the Packers. Seahawks Lions, I'm going with Detroit. The Colts and the Texans, I'm going to go with the Colts. CJ Stroud may not play. Davis Mills coming in. So I'm going to go with the Colts. Giants, Cardinals, going with the Giants in that one. Niners and Rams, I'm going to go with the 49ers over the Rams in that one. I got the Cowboys over the Jets, the Commanders over the Broncos. And then last but not least, I got the Dolphins over the Patriots. So, and then Monday night, you got the Saints and the Panthers. I'm going to go with the Saints to win that game. And then the Browns and the Steelers, it's a doubleheader Monday night. I'm going to go with the Steelers to win that one, man. So that wraps up my picks for Saturday and Sunday, man. I appreciate everybody again giving me some time. Just wanted to quickly, you know, recap that and give y'all a quick rundown. So look, we'll be back. I'll be back next week, man, to just give another recap of, you know, what we saw in this current week of college football in the NFL, and we'll keep this thing rolling, man. So look, hey, again, appreciate the time. Y'all enjoy the weekend, enjoy this football, enjoy this weather. Be blessed. I'm out. Peace.